Welcome to this week's Future Toolbox podcast. We explore the Z to A of life skills, where each letter stands for a topic and essential tool to help you get ahead in life. Meet Jules and Mark, creators of the multi-award-winning Future Toolbox, and enjoy their straightforward approach to creating growth mindsets that help people turn their dreams into realities. Whether you're a teen in education, a parent, a teacher, or part of a community group, start creating positive habits from today.
Hello and welcome to this latest Z2A podcast with me, Mark, and Jules from the multi-award-winning Future Toolbox.
Hello there.
Now, this is where we pick a letter and a topic and discuss how you can use our tools to improve your own personal development and life. Drum roll, please. What's the letter this week?
Well, we have chosen for this episode S for stress, as it's Stress Awareness Month. But what we're going to particularly focus on is how to reduce academic stress, because there's a lot of people preparing for their exams at the moment.
And a lot of people will think at this stage, well, I'm not preparing for an exam. Maybe my son or daughter is, or maybe I know somebody in my family are. So this doesn't really apply to me. But it does, because the ripple effect around the person who's actually doing the exam and the support that you can give to somebody can be absolutely massive. And also, these techniques are quite transferable to any aspect of life.
Yeah, we all experience stress at some point in our lives. I think it's quite natural, but it's not particularly easy to describe how that feels. But if it becomes too much to manage, that's when it has that impact on your mental health, or it could make existing mental health problems feel harder to cope with. Now, stress might feel different to you compared to how it feels to somebody else, because we are all different, which makes us all wonderful. And there's many different ways that stress sort of manifests itself into our lives and our behaviour. So what we're going to look at in this is some ways to help manage the effects of stress. And as we said earlier, particularly about understanding academic stress, whether you're the person that's going to have the exam and preparing, or whether you're there supporting that person going through this particular part of their journey.
So yeah, as mentioned, a lot of students and a lot of teenagers are just about to come up to the run up to their exams. And this is a time where some of them, dare I say it, start revising or think, I haven't started revising yet. And some people might have the best laid plans and will be sitting there thinking, oh, I haven't done this, I haven't learned that, I'm running out of time. And things start to, as you said, the word manifest in their mind. So it starts keeping you awake at night, maybe thinking, I can't remember that fact, I'm really, really struggling to understand that bit. So there you are, sleepless nights. The next day, because you've had a sleepless night, you're really, really stressed out because you're tired, you can't focus on that. And then, as you said, that manifestation, the small problem all of a sudden becomes bigger.
Yeah, and you start feeling nervous, particularly about the day of the exam, and you start thinking about that. So the academic stress can be related to the exams, but also to your coursework, or even just learning in general. It doesn't necessarily just have to be with exams. It can be triggered by maybe a lack of confidence in your own abilities, or even the worst thing is feeling like you're under a lot of pressure. So academic stress isn't just related to exams. It could be working on all your coursework and, like you say, worrying about whether you're good enough or whether you're on target.
Yeah, worrying about your performance and worrying about whether you're getting things right or you're making mistakes, that can be a real, real stressful moment. But there's a lot of other causes to academic stress and stress in general. So one is being unprepared. And as I just mentioned, there's people now who will be sitting there thinking, right, GCSEs are coming up in 2 months' time. I better start revising. Oh, where do I start? What's the point? I'm not even going to bother. And that stress will be really, really, really high. But if you've left it too late, being unprepared, and procrastination is one of the big words there, looming deadlines, all these things coming in, it can just totally overwhelm you. And even if you sort of think that person, well, I don't really care about my exams, I don't need them anyway, or what's the point in doing this? The stress is negative stress, because you're setting yourself up for failure then, aren't you? You're just thinking, well, I'm a failure anyway, so what's the point in trying to become a success? That's not a great place to be, really.
No, feeling unprepared is a really stressful feeling. And as you said, it will keep you awake at night. But also worrying about your performance as well, because it can be really disheartening if you don't feel like you're achieving your goals that you've set yourself, and it can leave you feeling really unmotivated. It's one of those things that when you know you're trying to do something, but for some reason it's not working, or you're not getting it, or you don't feel that you're progressing, then it starts playing on your mind.
Yeah, this actually links in with a self-comparison as well, where sometimes you sit there and you might see somebody progressing quicker than you. Mm. And I was that kid at school where it would always take me a little bit longer to maybe master something than it would to somebody else. And I think that was because my pace of learning was slightly slower. Classic example, a lot of previous podcasts have talked about my guitar lessons that I've been working towards. And my guitar teacher said it'll probably take you around about 6 months from scratch to be able to play a song fully all the way through. Now, it took me 7.5 months. So that's, again, a classic thing where I could have sat there and thought, I'm not making as much progress as somebody else would do on this. And then that leads to the stress because I think I'm not good enough. I'm worrying about my own performance because I'm making mistakes. This could lead to me giving up and thinking, well, I'm not as good as that person there, so I'm not even going to try. But what you actually find is, even academically, if you're the person that's slightly behind and maybe you don't get the grade straight away, or you don't pass that exam straight away, if you give it your best shot, it's still not the end of the world because you still have other chances in life. So sometimes by removing that pressure and removing that self-comparison and thinking that there is always going to be somebody better than you, you have to accept that. Mm-hmm. Unless you are the world's number one at absolutely everything, then accept that somebody else will be. And probably don't aim to be the world's number one. I think that's sometimes a little bit dangerous, yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah, that was really good about how to deal with the pressure of it all, because sometimes they don't mean to, but other people will put you under pressure. For example, and no disrespect because I'm a parent, but you do as a parent because you want the best for your children and you want them to be able to succeed and achieve everything that they want to. And sometimes by trying to help them or trying to be a part of it can make your son or daughter feel under pressure. But teachers, you know, the same thing. They want the best for their students, but it can have a negative effect of you feeling under an immense amount of pressure to achieve certain grades or results. So it's about learning and understanding your own capabilities and trying to stick to your path and achieve what you know that you can do. Maybe push yourself a little bit, but just look after yourself. And then what happens is you start worrying about the future.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, that is just reminding me of a story back from my recruitment days in youth recruitment. And I remember having an interview with a young lady who had been on the path to go and study law, a law degree. And she came into our office, she got this appointment with us, and both of her parents turned up. And they were a very middle-class family. Now, I remember the dad sitting down and saying, oh, can we have a word with you before we start this interview? We've brought so-and-so in to see you because she's failed her exams, she's failed her A-levels, and she's on a path to failure. So we just thought this is the last resort. And we're going to get her to sit down with you and find out what it's like in the real world to go out and get a job. And I found it really, really hard because, bless her, this poor girl was in bits sitting there in front of her parents, because her parents are basically calling her a failure because she's not going to go on to do this university degree and train to become a lawyer. So what we did was we sort of calmly diffused the situation a little bit by saying, OK, you know, we can help here. I didn't make a big point of this is the last resort, because it wasn't the last resort. It was another step for her. And within a couple of months, she'd gone through a pre-work training programme, built some confidence up, built some skills up, and then she got offered a job at a local solicitor's. Now, the solicitors were really, really keen to train her, and they worked her all the way through a training plan, which ended up 2 years down the line, she became a qualified basic lawyer. So she wouldn't go out and practice law, but she'd done the first stage in her legal exams. And the experience she got from her apprenticeship was far outweighing what she ever thought she could get at university. And I remember the parents were sort of in contact with us quite a lot, and they were absolutely delighted because all of a sudden what they saw as a failure actually became her biggest success, because study wasn't for her, but apprenticeships and learning on the job were. And she went on to flourish in a massive career. And as far as I'm aware, she's actually still practicing in law as well, which is amazing, really. And that's a message out there, as Jules is just saying, to all parents, to all teachers, to sometimes think the pressure that we sometimes put on our loved ones can be far too unrealistic, because that route may not be for them. But don't always see just because they've failed something in the way of an exam, they are a failure. It's looking at different ways forward, isn't it?
Absolutely. We said earlier, we are all different. We're not all the same. And some people flourish academically and they make it look really, really easy. And other people struggle. That's because we have different ways of learning. And it's about finding out which is your best way. Mine definitely is hands-on. I will learn something far quicker if I can have a go at it and then I can understand it. Studying in a book takes me a lot longer, and it takes it a lot longer for it to lodge into my memory, into my brain. But we're all different, and yeah, it's understanding that, and then that will reduce your academic stress.
Now, jumping onto another one, sometimes life causes stress, doesn't it? So there's somebody who's about to sit their exams and God forbid they have a family bereavement or something major happens in their life at that point, and things like that are going to get in the way. It could even be down to the simplicity of you get there on the day of the exam and you forget absolutely everything. Mm. It's just one of those things that does happen. So we do have to be prepared for, obviously I started with a really dramatic example, but sometimes things just do happen and life just happens. We had to deal with a massive pandemic a few years ago, which threw everybody's life into array. Again, that's a really, really dramatic thing. Dumb that down and just think of something that might happen in somebody's life which could cause them to feel down. It could affect their mental health, their well-being. It could also be a big challenge for them to overcome. So it's about looking at you as that individual if you're going through it, or somebody else that you know is going through it. Just might need a bit of positivity, a bit of support, just their arm around them or something like that, just to say, how can I help you?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And when we look at reducing academic stress, as we're looking at today, there are certain tools and techniques that you can use. First of all, something that we advocate throughout all of our programs is changing your mindset. You can begin to relax and push forward if you have the right mindset. So if you look towards the challenge that you've got coming up, whether it be exams or you're going to have to learn something new, if your mindset is the one that you're going to embrace this challenge and you're going to give it your best shot, whether you succeed or not, you're going to learn lots along the way, and keep that mindset, you will be able to achieve a lot more than if you're going into it thinking, oh, I can't do this, I'm never going to learn it, so what's the point? So that mindset is really good to help you achieve. But also, the benefits of being in an academic environment like a school or college is that you're not alone. There are plenty of other people, as Mark's saying, that are going through the same things as you. So connecting with those people, going into study groups and working with your friends, your family, colleagues, whatever, and sharing those fears that you have together can really help you out.
Yeah, we used to set a lot of challenges with students in schools that are maybe going through something that's difficult, and saying, right, OK, well, go and find somebody who's an expert. If you're not very good at putting together a revision plan, who's the best person in the school at putting revision plans together? Now, the objection might be that, well, I don't like that person or I never talk to them. This is where you can create a great mindset of saying, OK, so how can I be a better person at connecting with other people and maybe people that I don't know, or if you want to use the word don't like. So you can go out there and say, OK, you're great at studying, I've noticed that. Could you share your best tip with me, or something like that? And just turn that negativity around and create that culture of support with somebody else. Because let's face it, we're not going to like every single person in the world, but we can lose our prejudgments also as well and find out that we might actually like that person.
Yeah, talk to somebody. A good chat is brilliant at lowering your stress levels, learning to be able to talk to somebody. But something else that we also are very, very keen advocates of is sleep, making sure you get enough sleep. We see so many films or series on Netflix where it almost glorifies that working through the night and studying is great. That's what you do, but it's not. And in truth, it's really not productive at all.
Yeah, so number one, that doesn't happen. Number two, don't watch Netflix all night either, because that can really get in the way. But yeah, we've done a lot of podcasts on sleep, on self-care, and the key components to self-care. And We've talked about this many times where 8 to 10 hours sleep a night or 9 to 11 hours if you're a teenager is absolutely key in regulating your body clock.
And if you've had some good sleep, your brain, when you start to study or learn something, will be far more alert and able to process the information, and you will feel that much more energetic. But another great thing, and we've talked about it a lot, is moving. So not getting stuck at your desk. Quite often when you're studying, you get to that point where you start feeling a bit sort of on edge or twitchy because you feel like you've been there stuck in the same position for quite some time. And that then will trigger some stress and you get adrenaline building. So by getting out and spending some of that anxious anxiety and energy outside will help you maintain focus. Great, really brisk walk for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I'll sort you out.
Yeah, get out there in nature. That was one of our big go-to places, was to go for a little walk if we were struggling with something business related and have a real mental block, is just go for a little walk around the park or go for a little walk around the block, get outside, get some fresh air, and just take in the surroundings around you. Even if you just do that for 5 minutes, pop back, sit down at your desk, it's amazing how much it can clear your mind.
It does. Now, something else that's really good at calming you when you're feeling that stress building is something that you're already doing, is breathing. You're a natural, you're already doing it. But what we're talking about is taking really good, long, slow, deep breaths. And that will really help you to relax and relieve that tension that's in your body, but also in your mind.
And that leads us to probably our last tip of the day today, is about practicing some mindfulness. Now, I just mentioned a moment ago about taking in the walk around the park and maybe doing a mindful walk. But if you can connect with the surroundings around you and be fully aware of yourself in that moment and express your emotions, then this can make you feel a lot calmer. It can make you feel like the weight of the world just moves away. And then that will help you to focus on your breathing.
Yes.
Which links to the previous tip.
Absolutely. So our message really is, don't let stress take away your success. And following these simple exercises and taking everything step by step will help you to achieve any academic goals that you have.
I love that phrase. Don't let your stress take away your success. Now, I'm just going to put a little plug in to finish off today, because we have a program and a book called Smarten Your Study. It's loaded with really simple techniques to make your revision and study easy and fun. A lot of people look at us and go, how on earth can you make revision and study easy and fun? Well, that is your mindset. And that is a question that you can ask yourself. How can I make this fun? What could the answer be? That opens your mind. So pop online, have a look for our book Smarten Your Study, or our online program, or even better, have a look at both. You can find them on our website, which is futuretoolbox.co.uk. We also have lots of tips and tools on our social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram and TikTok. We also have a YouTube channel with some videos on there of how to study, and they're free. And you can find us on LinkedIn, because we are
just everywhere.
So have a little bit more fun and build up your resilience, relieve stress, and you can achieve your academic goals. We look forward to catching you in the next episode.
Yes, bye for now.
Thank you for joining us for the Z2A of Life Skills with Jules and Mark of the Future Toolbox. Don't forget to head over to their website, which is futuretoolbox.co.uk, where you can find lots of free resources, plus a host of books in the store, as well as subscribing to the membership site. Follow Future Toolbox Instagram, TikTok and Facebook at Future Toolbox, and subscribe to their YouTube channel too.